All right. You guys had a good snow day? So pathetic, man. You know, I get a text from my kids' school, and they texted last night around 9 o'clock, school canceled. And I woke up this morning and nothing. So praise God for Texas weather. All right. We're really excited for our time together. You know, I think this is really a special time for us to gather together so that we can meet as one heart and one mind and really seek the Lord. And so thankful for Dave and Pastor Pete to come and join us. And let me go ahead and introduce our speaker for the retreat, Pastor Pete from our Ann Arbor Church. Man, I've known Pastor Pete for a very long time. He actually started coming to our church because he was invited to one of our life groups. And when he started coming to our church, he was actually not a believer. He was an atheist. Might have been a very antagonistic atheist. I don't know. I mean, he has a wonderful testimony of just coming and through the life group ministry and so forth, of just really encountering God in a personal way. So not only was his life changed, but through that experience that God had this calling for him to go into the pastoral ministry. He's married to Gina. They have a wonderful son, Nicholas, and it's really a privilege for us to host him for this week. So as I invite him up, let's give him a warm Texas welcome, all right?
Thanks, Pastor Ben, and thanks to all of you for having me this weekend. I really think it's a privilege to come and share the word with you and just be here with you as God works among you. That's kind of just something I'm very thankful for, is being able to go places and just see what God's doing. I know I'm thankful that God at some point uses me, just as God uses all of you, to minister to each other and build each other up. And so I'm sure this is going to be a good weekend, and I've been looking forward to it for a while. I love coming to Texas, because I don't know if you guys know, I was born in Texas. I was born in Houston. Do you have any? Okay, I was going to ask if there was anyone from Houston here. Guess you guys are here. I lived like kind of, I don't know, I don't really know my Houston geography that much. I lived kind of near Rice University, just off Kirby, if you know kind of that area. Okay, I don't even know what that means, so okay. But it's, it was kind of nice, and, I grew up there, I liked it and stuff. Now I live in Michigan. It's very different there. I think your winter is kind of cute. canceling school for it being 29 degrees out. Come on. I think it was negative 2 when I woke up this morning. Negative 20 wind chill. I went out and shoveled some snow, and it was all good. So this is nice. This is really good, and I'm looking forward to like going out and having a bonfire and stuff, and hanging out here. I know it's going to be a really good time. And I guess I like coming here too, because I feel like I can relate a little bit with what people might go through growing up in Texas. I don't know if all of you are from Texas. Actually, who's not from Texas? All right, good number of you. That's great. So I mean, hopefully I can find out more about you and learn about the cool places you're from. But for me, I know part of growing up in Houston was that everyone's a Christian, right? I went to a private school. I went to a Christian school in Houston, and I remember it was kind of funny because that was just kind of the assumption. Everyone was Christian. If someone found out you weren't baptized, you got made fun of. You know, and I remember this one kid, this one like really outspoken, like loudmouth kid in my class, always like troublemaker. I remember one day he like brought a Playboy to school and was showing it around. Next day, he was making fun of kids for not going to church. And I was like, okay. I mean, as a kid, like, this is just normal to me. As a kid, I'm just like, okay, well, and I kind of, like, because my family didn't really always go to church. We went once in a while socially. It wasn't really a thing. I mean, that's kind of why, maybe part of why I was an atheist as I grew up. But, I always kind of went through life just assuming everyone was Christian. And I had serious conversations with kids in my elementary school where we would talk about that. And we'd talk about, is everyone Christian? Well, yeah, I think everyone's Christian. And, we would kind of, and I realized from growing up that way that there are just a lot of assumptions that get made. And there are a lot of ideas that we get in our heads just based on maybe the surroundings and the culture and the family and everything else that goes into our upbringing and who we become, that it can actually really confuse what it means to be a follower of Christ. And that's why as I was talking to Pastor Ben, just getting ready for this retreat, I was really thankful for hearing that you guys have just gone through a series called Follow Me. And I got to listen to that a little bit online. I listened to that, and I thought it was cool just hearing those messages on what it means to be a follower of Christ. The first part talking about how being a Christian isn't just go into a church on Sunday, that it really means to come and to die and to lay down our lives for Jesus. And I think thought that was really insightful. In fact, another one of my friends in elementary school actually made a really profound philosophical statement about that one time I thought was just super deep as like a fifth grader. He said, just because you go into a garage does not make you a car. And just because something's in a microwave doesn't make it a hot pocket. And just because you go to church does not mean you're a Christian. And so I was like, okay, that's good. We're kind of getting that. We're getting that down. And then the second part of the series was abide in me. Right? Learning that to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ means to abide in Christ, to bear fruit. I also learned from that message that you guys call Jesus your butt buddy. And that really threw me off. I had to remind myself, I was like, okay, Texans are a little strange, Pete. I'm gonna have to kind of get in a different mindset. Know that I gotta go there as a missionary. They're a little different, a little strange. And so, and then the last two parts of the series, those weren't online yet. So I just have to assume, take up your cross. Maybe you talked about the importance of wearing a cross around your neck or wash one another's feet. Pastor Ben, I think there's some hygiene problems in the church you had to address. I'll just assume that. But in any case, I know you guys have already been talking about what it means to be a follower of Christ, and that is really encouraging because, especially maybe for those who have grown up in more of kind of a Christian culture, those lines can get really blurred and confused. I want to kind of build off of all of that that you've already been talking about here as we start off tonight. And what I've been praying about and what I feel like God has been laying on my heart is that I feel like for many of us, we're hearing this call to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And maybe as we hear that and we start to understand that a little bit more, maybe there's some hesitation. Maybe there's some fear or some worry. And I kind of assume that because that's where I am right now, and that's where I've been throughout my Christian life. There have been so many times in my life as a follower of Christ where I remember when I first encountered Jesus in my dorm room, in college, and God started just drawing me to himself at that time, and as Pastor Ben mentioned, I started going to life group, and at that time I just realized, like, wow, God, to be a Christian really does mean to give my whole life, and I had to wrestle with that because I said, God, I don't know if I can do that. And then as I progressed through my Christian life, and I learned, okay, being a Christian means I need to forgive people, but God, there's this person I can't forgive. And God, it means I'm going to have to love people, but there's this person I cannot love. And God, maybe that means you want me to surrender different addictions and different things that I value so much. And God, I don't know if I can do that. And God, there's this pain in my life from when I grew up. I don't know how I'm going to deal with that. God, you're calling me to do things I don't know if I can do. And God, I feel stuck. And I feel like I'm just not sure where I'm going to go from here. And I'm just guessing that for some of you, whether it's just through the course of your Christian life, whether it's through this past month as you've been talking about what it means to be a follower of Christ, or maybe it was even just on the car ride here, you recognized there's something that God's trying to do in you, in your family, in your friendships, in your future, whatever. God's trying to do something in you that you know you can't do yourself. And you know that part of what it means to be a Christian is to face things that you cannot do in your own strength. As we realize this, I'm going to ask you just to open up to Exodus 33, because that's where we're going to start off tonight, and we're going to read a decent chunk of scripture here. And I wanted to start off here tonight because, and by the way, the title of the message tonight is just Meeting God. And my prayer for us tonight is that we will be able to just meet with God in a way that helps us to overcome any fear, any doubt, any confusion, any hesitance about giving our lives completely to Jesus and being able to step out in faith and see what he will do when we meet him, when we encounter him in a powerful way, and when we let him take control. And so we're going to be reading Exodus 33, verse 12 through Exodus 34, verse 9. But I want to just summarize for you just previously what's been happening right before this. We're stepping into a moment in the life of Moses. And Moses, while he's pretty different from us, he may be facing some of those similar things. I think many of you probably know Moses was called to lead the people of Israel. You probably know that that was a very difficult job. We're stepping into a moment now in his life where the people of Israel have left the land of Egypt already, so they've already been through a lot. But now they're out there in the wilderness. They've been spending all this time in the wilderness. They, Moses went up on the mountain, received the Ten Commandments from God, came down off the mountain after 40 days and 40 nights, and found the people of Israel worshiping a golden calf. God, of course, gets very angry about this. Moses gets angry about this. Everything is kind of left in a state of confusion, and now they're kind of wondering where to go from here. It's in this moment that now, bless you, God is calling Moses to continue in the path that he has called him to. And Moses isn't sure what to do. Moses isn't sure how this is going to happen. And so we're going to step into that moment in Moses' life and see how he meets with God. And I hope that that's something that can encourage us here tonight. And I have one thing for you to remember here today, and that's simply that our great God makes transformation possible. Now, our great God makes transformation possible. We're going to see this in the life of Moses, and I pray it will become true for us tonight. I'm going to read Exodus 33, verse 12 through 34, verse 9, so we can just kind of get the whole story, or at least this portion of the story as an overview, and then we'll dig in and bring a couple things out of it. So I'll go ahead and read this for us. I'm reading in the ESV. I don't know what versions you guys like to use, but that's what I like to use. So I'll go ahead and read it for us. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people," and by that he means bring them from Egypt over to the promised land, "but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." So Moses is trying to basically tell God, hey, this is what you've said, this is what you call me to do, now I'm convincing you to show me your ways and to lead me forward. God's response in verse 14, "And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. The Lord said to Moses, cut for yourself two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Be ready by the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself there to me on top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flocks or herds graze opposite that mountain. So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. All right, so that was a good chunk of this story, of this moment in Moses' life that we just got to read and kind of jump into, even from where we sit here today. And from this, I want to pull out a couple of things that hopefully will be an encouragement to us tonight as we start this retreat, that whatever it is that we're coming in here with, whatever kind of question, whatever kind of doubt, whatever kind of fear, that God is able to meet us in that and lead us forward just as he did for Moses. And the first thing that I want to share with you is simply that God is with us. God is with us. See, when Moses was called to lead Israel into this promised land, he needed some reassurance. And that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if you know Moses' story, you know he's here, he's leading hundreds of thousands, millions of people through the desert, dealing with all their junk, all their complaining, all their sin, all the times they rebel against God. I mean, here he is describing to God, he says, God, this is a stiff-necked people. He's not saying they need a massage. He's saying these are stubborn people. These are people with all kinds of issues. God, I need some reassurance that everything's going to be okay. And God, here, we realize that he does not that he is going to give Moses some reassurance, but it's not necessarily going to be what Moses wants to hear, or maybe everything Moses might like to hear. And just as you guys talked about in that series about, you know, about follow me and about what it means to be a follower of Christ, when we give our lives to God, it does not guarantee any kind of ease or safety or comfort or you know, that all of your dreams will come true. You know, this isn't Disneyland, right? This is following God. It doesn't mean any of those things. But what God does promise over and over again, all throughout Scripture, and including here with Moses, is he promises his presence. And you see that with Moses. He told Moses, my presence will go with you. And Moses wasn't the first one. I mean, God was with Abraham, leading him out of Ur and all the way to the promised land. You know, God, a couple other examples, a couple verses to show you here. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now look at Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Right, God is saying, when you're going to go out and start dealing with the life I've called you to, not a life where you're just going to try to live for yourself and do your own thing, but when you go out and start to live the life I've called you to do the things I've called you to do, to live for me, well, I'm going to be with you in that life. And for that reason, you don't need to fear. For that reason, you don't need to doubt. For that reason, you can have confidence. For that reason, you're going to be able to move forward. And this is right where God meets Moses in his time of need, in his time of confusion. He says, Moses, my presence is going to go with you wherever you go. Now, pause and think about this for a second. God is everywhere, right? You guys believe that, right? God's everywhere. Okay, God's everywhere. God is not confined just to certain places. You know, we don't believe, you know, God is just in Texas and not in Michigan. God's in Michigan too. We don't believe that God's just in the United States, but he's not in, like, Russia at the Olympics right now. You know, we don't believe God's only in certain places. So what does it even mean that God is with you? Why does that even matter? Why should we even care about that? Because, you know, if God's everywhere, what's really the big deal about God saying, I'm with you? You know, why should Moses care? Why should Joshua care? You know, Jesus, when some of his last words to the disciples were, "I'm going to be with you always to the end of the age." Why does that even matter if God's everywhere, if God's omnipresent? He's, you know, in every place, in every time. What I'm hoping we'll be able to notice here, as we think about that, as we consider what it means when God says, "I'm with you," I want us to understand that while God is everywhere at all times, at all places, God is omnipresent. What I want us to understand is that there is something specific about God's promise to be with specific people. That there's something unique, something specific, something important about his promise here to Moses and his promise to his covenant people all throughout Scripture, even his promise to us. As followers of Christ, there's something very specific about that. I mean, if you look at what happens after God tells Moses, "My presence is going to go with you," well, from that we realize that it's in God's presence that he makes us a distinct people. You know, Moses starts saying, "Well, how is anyone going to know that you're pleased with me or with your people? How is everyone going to know that we're your people if you're not with us?" There's a specific sense of God's presence that accompanies his people that makes us distinct. I think we can also see that it's in God's presence that we find mercy and grace. Because it's not just in God's omnipresence, but it's in his specific relationship with people that he brings forgiveness for sin, that he brings mercy and grace into our lives. It's in that relationship and that togetherness in that moment that God brings those things. And it's in his presence that we hear his voice. It's in his presence that we're able to actually hear from God and know what it is that he's speaking to us. That's why Moses is saying, "God, I need you to be with me." This God of the universe, this God that's everywhere, saying, "God, I need you to be with me." Now, as you think about that for a moment, I want to ask you another question. Have you prepared to be in God's presence here this weekend? I mean, I believe God was here before we got here. I mean, this is God's country. Right? I loved when Pastor Tufu was driving me and Dave out here. I was like, "Man, this is awesome." It reminded me of my childhood, like driving through like the hills and like the rocks and everything and the cattle and like the cool trees and everything. I was like, "Man, this is great. Like, I love this." You know, God was here before we got here. But now, have you prepared to meet with God in this place? Because I believe that God has actually prepared a specific moment, a specific encounter, a specific word, a specific experience, specific prayers to be lifted up, specific moments with our Father. I believe God has prepared something for you and I here this weekend. My question is, have we prepared ourselves to come and to meet with God here in this place, saying, "God, you're not just here generally, but God, you're here specifically with us, your people, here and now in this place, you're here." Can you turn to someone next to you and just say, "Here and now, God's here." He's here to meet with every single one of us. He's here. He has a purpose. He has a plan. He has something that he wants to do, and he wants to break through anything that's going to get in our way. And so just like Moses, do you notice he tells Moses how to prepare to come and meet with him? Did you notice that? You know, he says things like, bring these tablets and to come. And basically, you know what that pretty much means? Come and be ready to hear from me. Right, because you know, when Moses brings these tablets, God says, "I'm going to write on those tablets. I'm going to give you a message on those tablets." And some of you are thinking, like, "Yeah, I got it. You know, I'm good. I got my tablet." I don't know if any of you, do you guys have like iPads and stuff? You guys all have actual Bibles. That's awesome. Praise God, you have paper Bibles. This is great. I think most people in Michigan don't use you got a phone, you have a mini tablet. It's good. Yeah, it's great. You know? It's good. It's probably better if all of you don't have it, then you're not going to be tempted to play like Candy Crush or whatever. What's the new? There's like a new like bird game, right? It's like Flappy Birds, right? Okay, so don't bring your tablet to get ready to play Flappy Birds, right? But come, you know, have you come with an open mind, with an open heart, ready to hear from God. So I think there is something very specific about that. You know, like if you, and I'm sure those of you who are students, you know, you understand this. If you go to class and you come with like a notebook ready, you're ready to pay attention, you're ready to hear, you're ready to write down what that professor says to you. You know, there's a sense that, you know what you're going to hear is important to you. You know, hopefully it'll actually make a difference in your career someday, maybe. Or at least it'll make a difference for your grade. You know, those of you who, when you go to work, if you're working, if you go into a meeting with your boss, and you're sitting there like, you know, just kind of like rolling your eyes at them, not really paying attention, and you're not ready to hear from them, right? And they're going to notice that and they're going to fire you. So that's an issue. There's a sense of coming and being ready to hear. Same thing as when you sit down with your LCG, you look them in the eye, right? And you give them your full attention, hopefully. And you say, "Brother Yo, there is something you need to confess to me today." Right? And there's a sense of coming and being ready to hear. Coming and getting yourself ready to hear something, to hear a word, to hear a message. And I would encourage you this weekend, I believe God wants to speak something to you. It doesn't have to be through me. It might be through somebody praying for you. It might be through the word, just as you read it on your own. It might be in your own time of prayer, God's going to speak to you. But I believe God wants to speak to you. He has been preparing you for that. He's been preparing this place for that. He's been leading you to pray for that together. God, I believe, has something he wants to speak. Are you ready to hear? And as you come ready to hear, are you free of distraction? You know, I mean, for Moses, he says, don't even bring anyone else with you when you come up to the mountain. And don't even let any, like, animals graze near the mountain. You know, get rid of the animals. Which, by the way, I hear there's, like, mountain lions here. Which, that could be an issue. So don't get eaten by a mountain lion. Maybe that's, like, the takeaway. Or don't get gored by a wild boar. You guys have those in Texas, right? Yeah, those, like, my brother still lives, like, in the suburb of Houston. And these wild boars, like, dug up his whole neighborhood. Killed the dogs. It's kind of bad. So animals hopefully animals won't be a problem. But, you know, are you here with, like, your mind fully here? Are you here just giving your full attention to God? And by that, I'm not saying you need to, like, get rid of the person next to you. Be like, hey, you're in my way, hearing from God, get out of here. Like, this is my place. Okay, don't try to kick each other out. You know, don't try to roll each other down the steps at night while the person's sleeping or something. You know, we can keep that unity here, but excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. I hope I keep my voice. But what I mean by that is, I know, like, I'll be honest with you, like, there have been times, especially like when I was still back in college, every times I'd be sitting there listening to a sermon, and I'd get really challenged. Like, I need to, I need to do something crazy with my summer break that I never thought about before. And then in my head, I've got my parents. Right, they're not there with me, but they're there with me. You know what I'm saying? You know, or like I start, or like I start having a conversation, with some friends. I start talking about different things, and the topic gets around to like my faith, to like my involvement in church, things like that. These are my pre-Christian friends, other atheists, stuff like that. And like they're there with me, but also they're like in my head. And I'm really worried because I'm really worried about what they think of me. I'm really worried about whether they're going to approve of what I say. I want them to like me. And so it really affected me, you know. And I know that a lot of us have people in our heads. Hopefully these are not, like, voices. Right, but they're voices. These are voices of, other significant people in your life, probably, maybe other fears that you have, other worries of things going on in your life. And there are those voices there that can sometimes crowd God out. And I think for Moses, I mean, this was a very physical thing for Moses, to go with nobody else with him, to go with no animals around to distract him, I guess, and just to be with God. And coming here tonight, I mean, I hope you've already been able to prepare some in your heart and your mind, just giving your focus to God. But if you haven't yet and you realize that's where you are, that you're here but your mind is elsewhere and you've got all these other voices speaking to you, then tonight I think needs to be a night when we come and we meet with God and we allow God to prepare our hearts and just to give us some freedom from that and to give us some space where we can just be with him and hear from him and let nothing get in the way. And so that I think that's part of what it means, just knowing that God is with us, knowing he's here, knowing that he is here specifically for you and for me, for your life group, for this church. He's here, and he wants to meet with you, and he wants our full attention. Now, besides that, so God is with us. That's one piece of the good news. Another thing I think I see in this story is that God knows us, and this is huge. God knows us. I don't know if any of you have had an experience like this before. One time I was in Ann Arbor, and you know, I went, just so you guys know, I went to high school in northern Michigan, this small town called Traverse City. Anyone ever been to Traverse City? Wow, really? Praise God. Okay, yeah, a few of you guys have been there. Okay, so that's where I went to junior high and high school. And you know, when I was there, like honestly, I wasn't really like the most popular kid in school or anything, but like I guess people knew me. And one time I was like several years later, like I was in Ann Arbor, right? And I went to this pizza place in Ann Arbor. And I walked in to pick up a pizza. My friend had called and ordered the pizza. I was just going in to pick it up. I go in, I pay for the pizza, and then the person behind the counter says, "Hey, you're from Traverse City, aren't you?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, I am. Like, you know, how do you recognize me?" And she was like, "Oh, yeah, I know you. You're Pete Dahlum." And I was like, "Okay, like how do you know me?" Like, I didn't recognize this person at all. I don't think I'd ever seen them before in my life. And I was like, "You know me?" And they're like, "Yeah, we went to high school together, man." And I was like, okay, yeah, we went to high school, you know. And then they started, and then I was like, "Oh yeah, did we know each other, or you know, did like how do you know me?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, you're friends with this person. You did this and this, and you're involved in this activity." And I was like, I'm just sitting here. I'm like, "What?" Like, I mean, I was not only concerned, I was a little bit creeped out, you know, because it was a girl, by the way. And I'm like, were you stalking me? You know, were you following me around my high school? And do you know, like, my life this well? And I kind of, you know, tried to just kind of be nice and be pleasant or whatever. And then I was like, "Okay, see you around. Bye." You know, and I walked out, and I just left with this really surreal feeling that there's this person that seemed to like really know me and know a lot about me, but I had like no idea before I walked into that place, like, even who this person was. Now, I share that not just to warn you about creepy people, but I share that because I think we look in this passage here, we see God says he knows Moses by name. And, you know, I think many of you know the scriptural significance of knowing someone by name. It means knowing someone very well, very intimately. I think some of us here, we don't realize, and we're just not aware how well God knows us and how incredibly interested he is in every detail of our lives. Sometimes we go through our Christian lives as if God only is there and only knows us on Sunday morning, as if God only cares to interact with us at life group, as if God only cares about what we're doing if we go on a missions trip. We go through our Christian lives as if God is somehow distant or disinterested from every other part of our lives, as if God was not there while you were growing up, as if God does not know your family, as if God does not know your friends, as if God does not know your interests, as if God does not know your struggles. We kind of go through life this way. And I think as God comes here and he meets with Moses and he has this interaction with him, I think Moses has to kind of come to a moment of realization. Wow, God knows me. He knows everything going on inside of me. He knows all the struggles I'm having. He knows everything that's going on. And I think for some of us, part of that hesitance of even being able to trust God and say, "God, you can lead me forward. God, you can help me with the struggle I'm going through. God, you can bring me freedom. God, you can heal me. God, you can do X, Y, and Z." It's just knowing God knows us well enough to do that. You know, Psalm 139, verse 1 to 6, one of my favorite passages in Scripture, says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. You know, God knows you so well. He not only knows you, he is with you. And what my prayer is for each of us is that we'll get to a point where we embrace these truths, and because we embrace them, we believe them, we know them, we trust him, that we'll actually allow God into the deepest areas of our lives to change us, to mold us, to lead us, to bring us that freedom so we can actually see the power of God coming to its full fruition in our lives. That's something I absolutely believe in. And I absolutely hope for and have faith for you. You know, one thing that I'm really thankful for, in just even in our church in Ann Arbor, I'm really thankful we have like really weird, messed up people. I don't know what you guys, what all your stories are. I have the privilege of seeing God work in people's lives in just incredibly powerful ways. You know, I mean, just within the last few months, I've gotten to see people just being healed from abuse they suffered as a child. I've been able to counsel, wives who are beaten by their husbands and husbands who are beaten by their wives. And people who are going through sexual addiction and drug abuse and believing in lies about themselves that has caused them to go into even more sin and addiction and throwing themselves into other things they try to find their worth in. I've gotten to see how God works in all these different people's lives. And from seeing this, from knowing like, wow, God, you're here, you're working in all these different kinds of people, in all these different kinds of issues, in all these different kinds of situations, I've learned a couple things. I've learned a couple things from all this. And they're very simple truths, but they are truths that we must embrace. And one of those is simply, no matter what you've gone through, and no matter what you struggle with, you are not alone. You are not alone. This same God who was with Moses, the same God who knew Moses by name, he is with you and he knows you. And he is there to walk with you through whatever issue, whatever situation in life you face, whatever big decision you have to make, whatever struggle you have, whatever addiction you're fighting, God is there with you. And not only is he there with you, but he gives you a community to walk through that with. You're not alone. There's someone else that's gone through it before. Not your exact story, but their own story of God's grace. They can help you walk through it. They can support you. They can pray for you. They can counsel you. They can speak the truth in love to you. They can be a mentor or a discipler to you. They can help you through it, just as you will also be able to help others. That's what it means to be the church. And that's why I think it's so important as we come here on a weekend like this, that we prepare ourselves to meet with God. We prepare ourselves to say, okay, God, you're here. I'm ready to hear from you. I'm clearing out the distractions. God, I'm ready to meet with you in this place. But I pray you will also prepare yourself to meet with others and even open up your life to others. Because God has put the people next to you there because they're going to be with you as you face whatever trials you go through in life. They're going to pray for you. They're going to encourage you. They're going to help you through it. Turn to someone next to you and say, you better help me. And so I've learned, you're not alone. You're not alone. And the other thing that I've learned through seeing all these different things people go through, and I'm sure you yourselves, many of you, you're facing in different ways, in your own stories, in your own ways. The other thing I've learned is simply that our God is greater. Our God is greater than anything. You know, this is something that I've come to believe in so many different ways. As I've seen it for myself, I've seen it for so many others. I've seen God healing wounds that I never thought were possible to heal. And I've seen people being freed from addictions that seemed like they could never possibly change. And I've seen people give their lives to Christ that nobody thought that they would ever become a Christian. I've seen God do all these things and more. I've seen God change people's families and change people's parents' hearts. I've seen God give people faith where there was none before. God is greater than whatever kind of situation you're facing and whatever struggle you're going through. And this is where I realize, here as we look at this moment in Moses' life, this is what Moses discovered in chapter 33, verse 18, when he said, "Show me your glory." He just said, "God, please show me your glory. God, show me who you are." And in that moment, God gives this amazing response. He says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He's saying, I am the God who is greater. And I am this God who is here with you through everything you're going to go through. And I am this God who knows you so well. And can I tell you today that God, this Yahweh, the Lord, he was not just there for Moses, but he's here in our lives too. This is why Jesus Christ came to this world. This is why he came, so that God is no longer this distant God that we can't get close to for fear of being destroyed by his presence. But Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, came near to us and called us friends and called us brothers and sisters and welcomed us into the family of God and showed us God's glory through himself, his life, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, that power that rose him from death to life, and now the Holy Spirit who is alive in you and I as his people, that is now this God who is with us, who is greater than any struggle, who knows us by name. And this weekend, if we can come to him and embrace that reality, embrace that truth, and encounter him here tonight, I believe that he will break through, that he will break through any fear that you've brought here this weekend, that he'll break through any doubt about your ability to follow Christ faithfully, that he will give you faith that even if you went through something incredibly difficult in your life, that he is able to heal you from that. That even if you're uncertain about whether it's really worth it to lay down your life for Jesus Christ, he's going to show you there is nothing greater in this universe than to know this God. And so as we close here, once again, our great God makes transformation possible. I want us to sit on that truth a little bit. I want to invite you, maybe we can just go ahead and stand together. And as we stand, I want to just spend some time in God's presence. I want to just make this a place where we're able to encounter God, where we're able to just be with him and know him and let him work in us, let him dig out whatever's going on, let him bring to the surface anything that's holding us back. And I believe that while God is everywhere, he's in all times and all places, tonight, he's specifically here with you and with me. And I don't know if you've ever met with God that way before. I don't know if you've ever had that kind of encounter with him. But I believe there are specific moments God brings us to in our lives where we really experience his transforming power. I believe this weekend is going to be one of those moments for us. And you know, this evening I was just reflecting and praying and thinking, and I was reminded of a moment years ago in my own life where I really had to encounter God in a fresh way. It was a moment when, you know, I'd been following Christ for many years. I'd been serving God in so many different ways. I think people saw me as mature. People saw me as committed to Christ. But I came to a moment where I really had to doubt and question if I could follow Jesus at all. I came to a moment where, I'll spare the details because it's not only my story to tell, but I came to a moment where somebody told me something that I didn't want to hear. And in that moment, I felt every negative emotion you could imagine. I felt anger. I felt sadness and grief and loss. I felt hatred towards somebody else. In my mind, I thought, God, I could never forgive this thing that's been done. God, I could never get over this. God, I could never be able to move forward from this. I felt completely defeated and crushed and stuck in that moment. And the next couple days for me was just like that. And after a couple days of just wallowing in this, a couple days of wrestling with all these things that I was going through, I came to a moment where I believe God just kind of stopped me and spoke to me and just said, Pete, if you really believe in me, now is the time for that to become real. And if you really believe in this good news of Jesus Christ, well, that has to come to life for you right now. Because there's no other way you're going to be able to move forward from this place you're in. There's no other way you're going to be able to leave this behind you. There's no other way you're going to be able to forgive. There's no other way you're going to be set free. There's no other way that you're going to be able to have confidence in Christ. And praise God, because he led me through that. He faithfully, just in times of prayer, in times in the Word, times of reflection, brothers and sisters praying for me and ministering to me, working it out, reconciling with other people, God led me through that. And it was a time when the gospel became more real to me than it ever had before, and I became more confident in God's love and grace than I ever had before. And the reason I share that is because this weekend, I believe God has brought each of us here with something. And it might not be this huge issue in your life. It might not be this great pain that you're facing. It might not be this huge fear. But maybe it's just this little tugging, this little pull that God's been trying to get your attention and you've just been brushing him off. And tonight he's saying, do you believe I'm real? Do you believe I'm greater? Do you believe I'm here with you? Do you believe I know you? If you do, now's the time. For some of you, maybe it is a little bit bigger issue. For some of you, it is that mountain that's standing in front of you. You don't think you could possibly overcome it. It's a fear, it's a doubt, it's a worry, it's a person, maybe. It's something that's keeping you, and you're just wondering, God, can I ever move forward from this place? Once again, God is saying, tonight, will you believe I am here? Will you believe I know you? I know your struggle. I know your issue. I know your fear. I know your pain. Will you believe I am greater than that? And tonight, I believe that God can come and meet us here in this moment, in this time, in this place. And if you will simply come to him and lift up that same prayer of Moses and just say, God, show me your glory. God, show me who you are. God, show me how great you are. God, show me what you can do. God, show me that you know my heart, that you know my thoughts. You know everything that's going on inside me. You know everything that's going on in my family. You know everything that's going on at work. God, you know. And God, show me tonight your glory, your worth. You are greater. God, you can overcome. And so as we start this weekend, let's not anything get in the way of that. And in these moments here, we're going to spend time in worship. We're going to just spend time in God's presence. Just let everything else fade away. In fact, I want to give you just about a minute or two right now. Can I just challenge you to come to God in these moments and just say, God, I'm laying everything else down. And if that just means that there's a specific person, they're one of those people that usually lives in your head, you've got to put them down. If there's that thought, that fear that's worrying you, you've got to put that away right now, then do that. There's something you need to confess to God. Just use this time to confess that to God. Or even just kind of clear your mind and just say, God, I'm here. I'm ready to listen. God, I'm ready to hear your voice. I'm ready to meet with you. Let's just use the next minute or two to prepare our hearts this way. And after that, we're just going to meet with God. We're going to come to him in worship. We're going to come to him in prayer. And I believe he's going to come and meet us in a powerful way here tonight. So let's just spend this time. Let's prepare our hearts. Let's clear everything out of the way. and just say, God, show me your glory. Show me who you are. Let's come to him in prayer together and seek his face. Us just if you're not uncomfortable, just to lift your hands just in a kind of posture of receiving from God. And you know, one thing I want to tell you tonight, before God demands anything of us, he gives himself to us. Before he demands anything of us, he gives himself to us. And tonight, I believe he wants to come and just deposit something in our lives. And God, tonight, we come before you here. We come to receive from you. We come to meet with you, God. We come because we want to know you. Lord, just as Moses said, Lord, show us your ways that we may know you. Lord, show us your glory. God, reveal yourself to us. Show us, Lord, that you're real, that you're here, that we can dwell in your presence. You're not just here generally, God. You're here specifically. You're here to meet with your people. You're here to show us your love and your grace. And so, God, we receive that from you tonight. We just want to come and dwell in your love. We want to sing and just know that you dwell in the praises of your people. God, we want to come and just connect with our Father, with the God of the universe, with our Savior, our friend. And so, God, come and meet us here. Meet us here, Lord.
And he is jealous for me.